We have a report now on some of the youngest victims of war. They are Ukrainian children living in the path of Russia's invasion. Leila Fadel has some of their stories from Kyiv. Now, if you're not in a place to hear kids in distress right now, this story will last about 7 minutes. Don't worry, we'll still be here when you get back. But if you can listen, it matters, and here's their story.
There's a sound missing in Kyiv. The sound of children. Every playground we pass in the capital is empty. Since the start of Russia's war on Ukraine, more than half of this country's children have been displaced. But through the gates of Ukraine's largest children's hospital, one car after another rolls in, tagged with the word children, a plea to Russian forces not to strike, not to shoot. In the lobby of the hospital, medical staff unpack diapers, medicine, food, toys. A bulletin board is covered with notes of support from around the world. I see something from Italy. I see things in English: love, peace, freedom, stay strong. And then there are stuffed animals pinned onto the board that were sent for little children. It's this hospital where Ukraine's sickest children are treated, and now it's most gravely injured, if they can get here from more dangerous parts of the country. But even here, in this place of healing, medical director Serhii Chernyshuk tells us safety, it's not guaranteed.
I hope that the information that you will show will help us to receive additional help from Poland. I'm not about medical help. We can do everything by ourselves, but we need help to the sky, because the most dangerous place in Ukraine is sky. Also for our clinic too, because some of rockets hit very close to us.
In other parts of the country, Russian strikes have hit hospitals. Through the lobby and past the double doors, we meet Anastasia Rusin in the emergency room.
I am a radiologist, so I work on X-ray, CT, and MRI.
And lately, she's been learning to tie tourniquets too. She's been living in the hospital since the start of the war because it's safer than her home. But also doctors are living here so they're ready for the wounded to arrive. Before the Russian invasion, most injuries she saw were the kinds kids normally get from being kids.
Some bicycles, you know, riding as children, accidents, sports, football, and so on. And now we have blast trauma. It's children with shrapnels. We have children with heart injuries.
She pulls up a picture.
So this boy.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, it's very...
His entire back is open.
Yes. It was they were on a children's yard. He was playing, and then not far away from this yard, some parts of rocket were hit him to his back. It was very hard for us even to see this small boy with such injury. You know, it's sometimes it's even for doctors it's hard to see this things, and because we are humans.
Upstairs, there's the 4-year-old boy, a 7-year-old girl with shrapnel wounds to her legs, and a 13-year-old who's had multiple surgeries over the past few weeks.
What's your name?
Vova.
Vova?
Vova might be a little hard to understand because his jaw is wired shut, but he still manages a half smile when we meet him. Vova's short for Volodymyr Karavansky. I ask him about the scar running down the side of his face.
What happened here?
The car was fired at.
But it's not just his face. A bullet grazed his hand, two pierced his back, another his foot.
Okay, I see you're pulling up on your back. Is that also you got a bullet here? Wow. And he's showing us a wound to his legs. He's got a bandage on his thigh. And more wounds on his knee.
He shows me each injury with the practiced rhythm of a patient who's been poked and prodded. He doesn't cry. He says it doesn't hurt anymore. Vova's mother, Natalia, sits on the bed next to him and tells us Russian forces opened fire on their car as they fled their neighborhood outside Kyiv.
So, yes, we were together, the whole family, in one car, and the car was fired at, so he died here on the spot, and just when we started screaming, the children are in here, it was too late for my husband and for Maxim.
Maxim was her nephew. He was 6 years old. She pulls up pictures of her late husband. Alexander was 43.
Oh, a beautiful family. Is this from Christmas?
Yes,
this picture been taken 1 year ago.
There's a picture of them on their anniversary. He gave her a huge bouquet of flowers. Another one of them on a family hike. Vova jumps in to change the subject.
Ask if she shows the dog.
What's your dog's name?
Jora.
Jora.
Jora?
Giorgio Passport.
You love your dog.
She's about it.
He doesn't talk about his dad.
You are brave and strong. How are you just so brave about all this?
I just don't care about this war.
Vova's mom jumps in here.
It's just not completely realized what is happening.
Yeah. What do you think is happening?
Putin has sent his troops to kill the Ukrainians.
Vova says he's tired of being in this hospital.
What do you wish you were doing right now, if there wasn't a war?
If there wasn't the war, I would just play games on my phone and play with my dog. Mm-hmm.
We leave his room. And an hour later, we see him in the lobby. A staff member is pushing him in a wheelchair. After nearly a month in a hospital bed, he's out in the world.
So we're watching Vovo in a red wheelchair. He's being picked up and put onto a bus. He has a little stuffed animal. And he's going to Poland, away from the shelling, away from ambushes, away from the stories we've heard here in Kyiv, in the capital of Ukraine.
Our colleague Leila Fadel.